Welcome to Soch Bichar. Today I'm at UMT, University of Management Technology, a university that is surprisingly doing very well and has taken off and is now ranked by HEC. So we just want to hear about this university and what it's doing and what its strengths are. So I have here with me the rector, Professor
Aslam.
Would you like to introduce yourself somewhat? Just briefly.
My name is Dr. Muhammad Aslam. I have background in physics and engineering.
And you were a vice chancellor of another university?
I was rector at Pakistan Institute of Engineering and Applied Sciences.
Which is set up by the Atomic Energy Commission, right?
Yes.
And you've been an Atomic Energy Commission person.
Yes, my specialty has been nuclear engineering.
Mashallah. MashaAllah. And we have here Professor Sohail Ahmed. Sohail Sahib, would you introduce yourself a little bit?
I am Professor of Practice in the School of Governance and Society in the UMT. And the School of Governance and Society was opened in 2013. I think UMT was a pioneer in this subject as far as private universities are concerned. And our aim over there is to spread the ideas of good governance through a master's program as well as a BS program.
And you are a former secretary in the government of Pakistan.
I am a former secretary, five times federal secretary and quite a few times provincial secretary.
Right, right. Okay, and we have here Ms. Kichlu.
Navida Kichlu, Associate Professor, School of Business and Economics. I have a question for you. You said surprisingly, UMT is doing very well. Why surprisingly?
Well,
I mean, it was said to do very well. Alhamdulillah, it is doing very well.
It.
So why surprisingly?
I'll withdraw.
You weren't expecting it?
I must say, surprising because I really didn't know about UMT
so
before
that's
I came.
That you did not know.
Then we have kept secret.
Absolutely.
This is what Ahmed Rashid said when you came here.
Then we said, I have Mr. Abid Sherwani.
I'm Abid Sherwani, Director General and Co-founder of UMT, and also I'm Professor of Entrepreneurship, and I definitely get some time to relate industry and academia in Pakistan, and we have another institution called IRP, Institute of Research Promotion. The main focus of this institution is to connect three pillars of innovation, that means public sector, private sector, and the team. And we are working on it since 2005 and today. And we have a very good database of around more than 3,000 researchers and scientists in Pakistan.
MashaAllah. So, Abid sir, can I begin with you and ask you very briefly, your co-founder, he died recently in an accident, and I've heard that he was an exceptional man and did some very good things, and he was one of the visionaries behind this university. Can you begin by telling us a little about him and how this university was founded?
Yes, Dr. Hassan Murad, marhum, was the founder of this institution. At that time, to establish this institution, he was working in Daud Arkadis, and where he saw that the youth is not up to the mark according to the needs of corporate sector and the public sector as well, and it was his dream that we should reinforce the youth and to provide such training to the youth to empower them and equip them the most latest techniques of the corporate sector required. So then he decided to establish this institution, and he contacted me, and we decided we should establish.
How long ago was that?
In June 1990 we established this institution.
June 1990. You came here for about 28 years.
I was 26.
26 years, okay.
Yes, okay. I was at 26.
And how do you see the growth in this 26 years?
We started with the two rented rooms.
Okay.
And the growth is in front of you. Now we have more than 225 canal of the our permanent land, and we have more than I think 1 lakh square feet covered, more than 10 lakh square
feet. How many students?
Yeah. And here the student body is more than 15,000.
How many departments?
Here we have around 100, total 17 in faculties and institution as well.
40 departments.
40 departments.
Yes, more than 40 departments under that.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So now it's a large scale university in Pakistan, mm-hmm. and we have enjoying the W category, the highest category that is ranked by AGC.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's for the business school. Right?
Yes, business school.
Business.
We started with this business school. The first our school was the business school, School of Business and Economics, we called it. So this is basically the
founding. What is the founding vision of this university?
This is basically a combined vision. It comes from our two board of governors. Mm-hmm. One is the Professor Khurshid, the ex-senator of Pakistan. And the other is the Khurram Murad, the father of Hassan Murad.
Okay.
And they basically, we discuss these issues with the youth and other things. But then they advise us to establish this institution. Then we Hassan Murad resigned from the other colleges, and I resigned from the Punjab Sphere lecture.
Mm-hmm.
And we joined hand and established this institution.
Okay. Okay.
So.
Rekha Sahib, what do you think? What is your, you've been here how long, sir?
For a little more over, more than a year.
Acha. Mm-hmm. And what is your vision now? Having heard the founding vision, how do you see this university going? Where do you want to take it?
Of course, our emphasis is on quality,
mm-hmm.
and we want to enhance the quality, especially also I've been focusing on the PhD program as well, because I think that can contribute a lot to the enhancement of quality in the university. And obviously, these days, of course, now we are not far behind, because we have already come into this race of US ranking as well. And UMT has been able to get it to the group of top 500 universities in Asia. And so that has happened recently, actually in October.
Okay. Okay.
And obviously, we want to improve our position further.
Okay.
With, of course, my years required to enhance the, especially the research.
So let me ask you a question, Ms. Kichlu. You said that your department is the highest ranked here.
No, not our department. Ah. We don't have departments. We have schools.
Faculties. Okay, your faculty.
Schools, and
yeah.
we have a School of Business and Economics,
okay. uh-huh.
which has economics department, seven departments
okay.
within this school.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And I, Dr. Hassan, believed it was, business school was his passion.
Okay.
This is how we started the university.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Has built it into a kingdom.
Okay.
Together.
Good.
With
Excellent.
Shivani
mm-hmm.
But his passion was the business school.
Mm-hmm.
And Opsav was not a person who was just doing things for his university. He would work nationally for all the universities in Pakistan and bring resources from abroad to Pakistan. So he started MBAC. This is accreditation from HEC. And he took it to a level that it has come... you can see a lot of similarities between foreign accreditations and MBAC.
Okay.
And
so MBAC is a system that has been developed by the HEC.
MBAC is accreditations of HEC for business schools.
Okay.
And HEC, whenever I used to go there, have a meeting with them, they would say, Dr. Hassan will come, and he'll start having alham. Because he would get ideas.
Okay.
Such a visionary he was.
MashaAllah.
He would have ideas that nobody sitting here would think of. And people were very sort of on board with him as a team. So MBAC has really a very well-rounded, accreditation of HEC. So we had it 5 years ago, 6 years ago, okay. And then we were up
so
for
what would you say,
last year.
What would you say are the strengths of your department?
What
does your department
stand? Dr. Hassan used to say that our business school is an SME-focused business school. Our students are usually from Sialkot, Gujranwala, all these places. Right. Right. We do not take the cream of Pakistan.
Yeah.
We take everyday students and polish them for SMEs to start their own businesses. Entrepreneurship is something we are very passionate about. And we teach them entrepreneurship. We teach them how to go back and contribute and add value to their own businesses.
Right. Right.
And to the other businesses. So this is what we are doing. And people usually in the business school are very focused on their departments and cross-sectional departments.
So that's great. So that's a wonderful idea that you are pitched towards the small business.
Right.
So Elsa, what about the School of Governance? What is your strength and what is your basic pitch?
I think our strength is our vision also. Mm-hmm. Before we started the school, a conference was held in which some very important people who have been in governance for many, many years now, which included the former cabinet secretary, who headed Karachi's MIFA for a long time, very well known DD. Just forgetting her name right now. And they created a vision which said that we want, through better governance, we want a modern and a progressive country which is focused on the betterment of the common people of Pakistan. So that was the vision which was given to our school when it was opened.
Great.
And the other thing was that we were very much aware, and that is how we were able to get some retired civil servants. We were very much aware that in the conventional civil service, in the CSS exam or in the civil service, there is absolutely, for the last many years now, no focus on specialization. Public policy as a specialized subject or economics or whatever, nothing. What they just demand is, you have to be at least a second division BA to take the CSS exam, and then you can after some training in the Civil Services Academy, you can become an
just to now sort of round it off, tell me collectively.
No, before you wrap it up, I'll ask you.
Please go ahead. Please.
Mm-hmm. You last time you came, you interviewed all of us. You asked us questions, we answered them. Again, you've started. I want to interview you.
Please do.
I want to ask you a question.
Last time the interview produced this.
I have looked at it.
Go ahead.
I want to ask you a question. What is your vision and mission? Where do you see an ideal business school in Pakistan? How it should be put together? What should it be, mission and vision? And what do you see? Because you've been in the government. You've been...
good point. Good point. Fair enough. I appreciate that.
So I would love to know.
I think a business school is a part of a university.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a university has to be relevant to the community and society at large.
Mm-hmm.
I think whether it's a business school or a medical school or any school, university is a large entity where everything comes together. One of the reasons that the university was built in such a way is because the boundary walls between academics or subjects is artificial.
Mm-hmm.
We gained a lot from building these boundary walls in the 19th, 20th century. But today, in the new academics, boundary walls are being broken down. And we are beginning to find that its multidisciplinary approaches are much better. So I think that's the first thing that I would say. The second thing I would say is that the approach of all universities should be to solve problems that are available.
Mm-hmm.
Solve problems that come up, whatever the problems are. Business school, as I said, business school is no different from any other schools.
It has very different dynamics altogether.
Absolutely. Every school has its own dynamics. But,
business school, I'm talking.
But the point is, every school has its own dynamics. But the issue is that what is the entirety of the education sector doing?
Mm-hmm.
Because if we keep separating, keep thinking in silos,
mm-hmm.
that there's a business school, there's a medical school, there's this school, I don't think we get the benefit of the education system. One of the reasons that the medical school is in universities all over the world is because it has linkages, it has synergies with the other schools, right?
Mm-hmm.
What we are doing in this country is we are separating systems too much. For example, we are making business schools, we are making business universities, we are making medical universities, we make engineering. I think that's a narrow vision.
Mm-hmm.
We must develop knowledge together.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, every school has its own time. For example, engineers go in and do more lab work. Social scientists don't do lab work.
Mm-hmm.
Business schools do case studies. But those are different tools and techniques.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, the approach is knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And we must build knowledge. And the second thing is knowledge must be useful. It must, has to be useful. So that's it. But anyway, my last question. My last question. Go ahead. You want to ask me the question? You have to have another question.
I need to know, what do you think of industry and academia? How should they work together?
I think everybody should work together. We are all pulling in the same
that's
boat.
That's a very generalized, generic
I'm coming
answer.
I'm coming.
Come specifically to a business
school. I'm coming. In everybody should work together. It's not industry. Industry can't work on its own.
Okay.
Business school can't work on its own.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Industry, for example, requires policy.
Mm-hmm.
Industry requires a market.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's not that industry and business are together. If, for example, in Pakistan, what you've done is we've got an industry without a market.
Right.
You've got an industry without a government policy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the business school also finds it irrelevant because the business school doesn't have much to say to the industry
mm-hmm.
because the industry doesn't need that advice yet.
It does?
Industry, it doesn't yet.
Okay.
Industry right now needs no advice from any business school.
So where should the R&D come from?
R&D, unless the industry does its own R&D, it will not require you.
Mm-hmm.
R&D has to be a part of everybody. R&D doesn't stand alone from the system. This
so,
is a lesson, for example,
so
in the US
government.
What
kind of research should you be doing in a business school in order to contribute to the industry?
I think the business school should be doing a lot more industrial case studies, looking at all the understanding the industrial. For example, I would begin by understanding the industrial. Not just, I think industry is wrong. Since you are focused on SMEs,
mm-hmm.
I don't think you should even
not
worry about
necessarily
this.
Focused on
yeah.
it. But we are focused in a way on SMEs, but entrepreneurship more than SMEs, having bringing up students.
So now let's
sound.
Break up these three things.
Uh-huh.
There's industry, right, which is the manchas and the big guys,
uh-huh.
right? Then there's SMEs,
uh-huh.
most of which is not industry, most of which is retail and other things, right?
Uh-huh.
Then there is entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
Entrepreneurship is a totally different thing.
Mm-hmm.
Entrepreneurship could be in retail, could be in industry, could be anywhere. Entrepreneurship is a different way of looking at things. A different
no, but
way
SMEs,
of making.
90% of our industry is SMEs.
But depends, because 90% of retail is SMEs too, right?
No, so 45% of the GDP comes from SMEs.
Yes, but SMEs are also not just industry. SMEs, as I said, the small shopkeeper is also an SME.
Exactly.
Right?
Really
so,
also SME.
Yeah. So there's as most of SMEs, but these are statistics, we can quibble about them.
Can I add something?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of SMEs are integrally linked with the bigger industry because they make parts which fit in.
Well,
no, but they have their own entity. And the definition of SMEs in Pakistan is not right at the moment.
Yeah.
Everybody, the state bank has one definition. Industry has another definition.
Yeah.
We have different definitions. We have to come together to have a single definition.
Absolutely.
First of all. But SMEs is the major part of Pakistan.
Good point. Good point.
So
yeah.
So that is the reason I said we are SME focused because we are business focused.
Fully agree.
SME just in one way it's the size of business. So if you're looking at, for example, the retail industry, so SMEs,
you
have
100
businesses.
Hmm.
So SMEs just, you classify SMEs by the...
Does it tell you what is the nature of SMEs?
By the volume of the business they're doing.
By the size.
So yeah.
SME has a definition by 250 employees would be the highest in an SME.
In the UAE, it's in the UAE, if you do $200 million of business every year, you're a large-sized medium
right.
enterprise
right.
because
yes.
you're working with SMEs in Dubai also.
Right.
So, like in my opinion, if you look at the retail sector, you have Macro, you have Al-Fatah, or maybe $100-200 million.
Right.
They're not large. Huh.
But you can't call them in a Pakistani
perspective. They are not an SME, they are large.
In a Pakistani perspective, you cannot call them an SME. They are maybe the industries that they make Coke and Pepsi of Pakistan. But the small shopkeepers, they are SMEs. But
yes.
I think the school of business, what the school of business needs to do is they need to look at the whole sector.
Mm.
They need to look at the whole sector, and then they can bifurcate the large enterprises and the SMEs.
Fair point.
So you asked this question, I think from Electrosar, what is his vision? So what my vision of the business school is that I want it to lead the industry. So
how would you lead the industry?
Exactly. So you know,
good point.
We only need it to have knowledge and research. So what you need to do is you need to the faculty needs to indulge in research, and you can even have people who are full-time researchers, who are PhDs. They're not teaching; they're doing research. And what they need to do is they need to specialize in a segment. So, for example, we have a PhD from the Lem School of Business. His area is retail and franchising. So he needs to have a very strong grip and a very strong knowledge base about retail sector. And once he has the knowledge, the right amount of knowledge and the right outlook on the sector, he can then guide the sector. And then the the big companies and even the large size and SMEs, they can come to us. So then you build a bridge. You know, this is what industry TV linkage is. And when those professors, they are sought after by the industry, they have all the knowledge. And when they transfer that knowledge to the people who are sitting in the classroom, who are doing MBAs, you know, that is what the business school needs to be doing. Providing research, you know, information needs to have the knowledge about the industry, about the academia. Also, there's a government is huge. You know, once you have the input about the sector, you can give advice to the government, you can get a policy paper. Then these policies needs to be, you know, they need to legislate on these issues. And I think the business school needs to be the game changer or the leading force in it can be, you know, in the whole Pakistan or, you know, in the whole business school.
Basically, what you're saying is, basically, if I
complement a lot with this actual research. Not the research which goes in the library, which sits on the shelves.
And also case studies. You mentioned something which is very important. I think we need to have a center that develops case studies and publishes case studies and provides them to other business schools. And you know, once you have examples, like real life examples of what has happened in the sector and what they did to, you know, counter that or what they did to solve the issue. And you can also involve students in that research.
Sure.
Once they, you know, something is going to be supply chain, and you have, for example, BSL, who is a multi $100 million enterprise, into logistics and parts, or TCS. And when, if you have a professor working on their issue, and if he involves maybe two or four of his MS students in that project, and you know, when
no, fair point. Let me just summarize it like this. What you said is very important, I think, both of you. What you need the business school to do is to have ideas, most important of all. I think research without ideas happens a lot in this country. For example, I'm invited to a conference today. I won't tell you where, but I'm not going. I'm invited to another conference next week. And when I look at the agendas are idealess. There's going to be a lot of activity, a lot of food and stuff, but there are no ideas being generated from the conference. Conferences will die.
Real-world impact.
Now, the real-world impact is ideas. We look for impact without ideas. So that's a very important thing. The second thing that's also very important is that, yes, we must be able to develop research entrepreneurs. What you need in business school or any school, I would say, not just business school, you have to have research entrepreneurs. For example, I'll give you names of a few research entrepreneurs. I mean, for example, Peter Drucker was a big research entrepreneur, right? He was a big research entrepreneur. Now this guy, Clayton Christensen, is a big research entrepreneur. Richard Dawkins was a very big research entrepreneur. In my subject, for example, Milton Friedman was a very big research entrepreneur. Now, for example, I know many people. For example, this guy, the Italian fellow, Giovannini, Dr. Doom, he's become a research entrepreneur. Ultimately, what you need is people, A, who develop ideas, and two, who are willing to stand by their ideas and go forth.
Original ideas.
Right? Original, absolutely. But ideas are no good if you don't have them. Right?
The main thing to generate the idea is to contact with the industry. We should have very solid
interaction
with the industry. Our faculty should go to the and visit to the different industries and indulge with their employee level, their mid-career level, and the governance level as well. And then they came with the new ideas, new processes, new problems they are facing in that.
Then they will translate into that into your curriculum, and then you to disseminate their knowledge to the young one.
So
then they can.
The researchers that you named are great researchers and with great ideas. But in Pakistan, we need to do research in the context of Pakistan. So we need to see what the context is, and according to that, there's a lot of research being done. And there's a research mafia in Pakistan that you do this many papers, only then you'll be able to become this and this. There's a whole mafia going on. This is not what my vision is of the business. I want people to do researches that would contribute to the industry, have an interaction with the industry, because interaction of academia and industry has been always a thing in the West as well, not only in Pakistan. So my vision for the business school would be a lot
why,
of research
why are you
interaction.
Why are you hung up on industry?
Oh, we are not hung
business.
Up.
Business.
It's not.
Let me.
Word.
Let me.
It's not the right word.
Let me frame my question.
We are not hung up.
Let
Our action is to interact with the industry.
Let me frame my question carefully. Industry constitutes 18 and now 16% of our GDP.
Uh-huh.
Why are we so focused on industry?
So, doctor, what would the business school do without the industry?
There is
why
business.
Do we make all these MBAs and BBAs? Where do they go? They go to the industry.
Why?
Where else do they
why
go?
Industry?
Where else do they go?
Okay, I'll tell you.
They go for SMEs. They go to these corporations. They go. They have their own businesses. They. I mean, this is the business of a business school is business. So,
but let's define
why would we hung up on industry?
Let's define business.
Yes.
Business, agriculture is business too. But agriculture, but hang on, agriculture is only 20% of GDP. 60% of GDP is services. Services is business too. So then let's be clear, we are talking about enterprise or business, not industry. Industry is only one small segment of business.
Right.
Business happens everywhere. For example, I'll tell you what, entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. I've been dealing with entrepreneurship recently.
No.
Entrepreneurship, now there are kids who develop, for example, these kids have developed Food Panda.
Mm-hmm.
Food Panda has grown bigger than many industries.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now I'll take another one, Dharaz.pk. Dharaz.pk is bigger than many industries.
No, doctor, listen, when I talked about the context of Pakistan, we have tons of ideas. Our students come up with such novel ideas that I cannot even imagine.
Excellent.
At DePaul University, they used to come up with an idea.
Excellent.
A venture capitalist would come in and say, 50% mine, 50% yours, let's start a business.
Mm-hmm.
Here, they are dependent upon banks, and banks want collateral, so they go don't get the money. So business should be seen in the context of Pakistan.
Professor,
if we talk
Professor, about, even in the U.S., no bank finances.
Bank doesn't finance.
Bank doesn't finance any
banks.
Business. Bank,
finance,
banks never
fine.
Finance a business.
Uh-huh.
And there are venture capital funds in this
venture
country. There are
have.
Venture capitalists here. I know at least three venture capitalists who are putting in money into businesses left, right and center.
Three in a million? Three is not enough. We need to have more.
I, even though three people can't put their money, invest their money. I think let's not get fantastic, because you see the point is ideas are very hard. I have tons of ideas.
Ideas
are they marketable? Are they marketable? You have to take the idea to a point before a venture capitalist can come in. I'm invested in two companies right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you they're not at the venture capital stage. They'll
mm-hmm.
go long, they've got a long way to go. You have to build your idea. Idea doesn't mean that I've thought it up today and it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these things have to be defined.
The success rate for VC funding is around, I think, 2%.
Yeah,
or
very low.
2.5%. So in Pakistan, the investor doesn't they don't have the risk appetite.
That's what
because
I'm saying. We don't have any startups because we don't have
issues. The issue is in Pakistan, people don't have the risk appetite. In the US, they would want to, because they have maybe tons of surplus.
They're not risk
averse. They also have the mindset.
Mm-hmm.
They are willing to take the risk. So in Pakistan, people prefer to invest in bought stocks, certificates, or real estate. This is also a reason why. But there are a lot of VC funds coming up.
Mm-hmm. I also want to ask you, normally we have all these meetings with the business school deans and associate deans and all that, and they have their own vision for it. Where do you see, what work do you envision for a dean of a business school? What kind of work do you envision?
The dean of a business school must lead with ideas and get the best team assembled. He's like a cricket captain. He must assemble the best team possible, must envisage good events where ideas can be coagulated, must develop ways in which the research can be peer-reviewed that comes out of the system and can be generated for impact, right? So you have to develop products, you have to develop people, you have to develop marketing, and you have to develop events for which marketing will happen. I think unless you can make ideas, and ideas is not, don't get me wrong, ideas are not just about having one idea. You have to develop your idea. Idea has to be developed. It is not an idea unless you've developed it, right? Uh-huh. To say that I have an idea, that means nothing. You have to develop it first.
Right.
You have to develop a product. The idea has to move to a product stage. Once you have a product, then you can. So the dean must actually create the grounds, set up the marketplace for ideas in the university.
You see deans work within the business school or outside of the business school?
Both.
Both?
Both. Can't
so
be.
More outside or more inside?
It has to be
to
both.
Break the outside.
Unless you have a team, you can't market yourself. So first, he has to have a team. I mean, you can't play cricket on your own.
No, we
right?
do have teams.
So you have to have a team. No, I mean, I'm telling you, ask me for a dean. So I'm telling you about a dean. Now, whatever team you have, fine. But the dean will have to figure out what his team is. You can't just say, I have a team and run.
No, no, no. I'm just saying like, you can put
just
together,
like
if you have the vision, you can put together a wonderful team.
Yeah.
Which is
and then you
to
have
your...
to, and then you have to go out and first of all see what your team can produce. You have to have not only a team; team has to produce something. I mean, it's no use if you don't have products.
No,
so you have to have products. No, I'm not talking about you. You asked me about a generic question. I'm answering a generic question. I'm not answering a specific question. I'm answering a generic question. First, he has to have a team. Then he has to have a product. He has to figure out what the products are, and then run with those products. So, we'll continue this discussion, but this has been a lovely discussion, and I'm glad I caught it on Sochvichar. So, let's conclude it here that basically UMT has done some good work. You've seen they've been able to generate a very good discussion on entrepreneurship, on ideas, on universities, and I think we need to really... Sorry, you want to add something? Huh? Okay, so we will continue this later. But I've really enjoyed this discussion. Thank you very much, folks.
Thank
this
you.
Has been wonderful. This will be put up soon.